Bill Rainforth's funeral is tomorrow, Monday, at 2 p.m. at the Clive Baptist Church. next weekend, Laura and Nathan will be here for special services, and we'll start Thursday at 7 o'clock at Steve and Jackie's barn. Friday, 7 o'clock service at the church here. Saturday, 6 o'clock, young people's here at the church. And Sunday, we'll have an 11 o'clock service and a 2 o'clock service with lunch in between. Sunday school on next Sunday will start at 10. Anyone wishing to host Nathan and Laura next weekend for a meal, please sign up. There's a sign-up sheet there at the back, and Christina also has a sign-up sheet for the meal on Sunday back there as well. Men's Bible study, Tom's Wednesday at 7:30. Friday Bible study here at the church, 7 o'clock. And then the visiting minister, of course. Actually, no. Friday, we won't have Bible study here at the church. So, forget that. Thanks, Tom. Are there any other announcements? Are there any prayer requests? We'll have Ryan read the psalm if he's here. Oh, there he is. And Tom will do the prayer and bring us the message.
See on the Today's psalm reading is Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem in all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel.
Shall we open in a word of prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we come to you this morning with hearts of joy, hearts of peace, hearts of comfort, and hearts of grief. Father, we are so thankful that we have a brother, Bill Rainforth, who has been a light, been an example, a treasure, a patriarch, a lover of the gospel, grandfather, a brother, a farmer, a friend. A witness of the truth. Father, we ask that you would strengthen that family as you have taken him. He has had 83 years, and he has been a wonderful example.
We thank you for what you have done, what you have made, what you have molded, what you have created, part of the bride, brother in Christ, a soldier of the cross, an example to all. We thank you for his life. We ask that you would just be with that family who mourn, who have memories, and who will be sad because he has now moved on. We ask that you would comfort them, encourage them, be gracious to them, and give them a hope that they will meet him again. Father, we thank you for this church, this congregation, the bride here. We thank you for their gifts. We thank you for their strong conviction in the word. We thank you for the hope that you've given them. We thank you for the building of this church. We thank you for your son who has shepherded it and given us inspiration through the word. And Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you've blessed upon us, not only this day, but in the past. And I'm sure there will be many blessings to come. Give us the desire to look to these blessings and the hope of salvation forevermore. Father, I ask that you would be with the ones that cannot be here today, but are at home or sick or away or whatever they are, wherever they are. Give them a peace and a joy and an understanding of the hope that is in us. Father, anybody that is in hospital or just in need, be with them. Be near to them. Give them comfort. And Father, I thank you so much for that perfect prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue.
Trust the ever-living one that He for me will be.
May the grace, mercy, and peace be granted unto you by God our Father, the Son of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the indwelling Holy Spirit, on this day and hour of worship. Amen. If we can turn to our text, which is the 11th chapter of Matthew, and it's verses 25 to 30. Before we go there, I'm just going to look at the psalm that Ryan read today. There's just a couple of things in there that I kind of struck a chord. Verses 2 and 3, "For thou shalt eat of the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table." If you haven't created a habit of eating together as a young family, it is a very good habit to be in. There's nothing more enjoyable than sitting around the table with your kids in the morning for breakfast, or most of us probably, if we're working outside the home at lunchtime, we won't spend lunch as fathers. We'll probably be busy in the way society is today. Wives are working at lunch too. But if you can spend two meals a day with your kids and just chat and have a conversation and around the dinner table or around the breakfast table, it is so, so beautiful. And that text just reminded me of that. Because believe it or not, not everybody does that. And it is such a good way of building a relationship, and not only that, but to also foster friendships, foster loyalty, foster who you're with, and encourage your kids, and be encouraged. As parents, we're encouraged by our kids. Some of the wisdom that they have that God has given them is beyond what we ever would have known if we never had these conversations. So I'm encouraging anyone to, if you haven't done it, and I'm sure most of you have, spend the time to take an hour, 2 hours a day with your family around the dinner table, around the breakfast table, and just enjoy. For the text today, if we turn to 25th verse of the 11th chapter of Matthew, we'll read it in Jesus' name. "At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son shall reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. When we look at this text, and it's very familiar to all of us here, sometimes isn't familiar is there's more than one yoke we attach ourselves to sometimes. And Jesus is saying, attach yourself to my yoke. And we'll cover that today. Because one yoke is through grace and mercy and rest, and the other yoke is to sin and death. So there are two yokes. So we'll go through that and hopefully understand what Jesus is saying here, to be yoked to Christ and what it means to be yoked to Christ and what it entails to be yoked to Christ. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Notice what he says here. He's thanking thee, O Father, who is Lord of heaven and Lord of earth. Lord of all. He's raising him up and he's thanking him. What is he thanking him for? Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, the wise in themselves, the prudent in themselves, the ones that are not do not have the wisdom of God, but the wisdom of the world and the flesh and the influence of Satan. But has revealed them unto babes, babes in Christ. Who are the babes in Christ? The blind, the deaf, the lame, the dumb. One that's have nothing to offer. That's who he's revealed the knowledge of the good news to. And he says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Because you, Father, have done a good thing by doing this. Can you imagine if he revealed it unto the wise in themselves and the prudent, the wisdom of the world? Would they not be more wise and take the glory? If they had the wisdom of God, would they not say, I thought of this. Hey, I got this new thought here. And that's one of the reasons why he reveals it to the babes in Christ. They can receive it. Because they have need. They have no sight. They have no hearing. They can't talk. And they can't walk. They're totally dependent on the Father. And it's a beautiful picture of what Jesus is saying. You are Lord of all heaven and earth. Thank you for just revealing this to them that are babes. And it is a good thing that you did this. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. I'll stop there. No one knows Christ but the Father. That's what it's saying. But the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. So no man knows the Father except Jesus Christ. How does that work? And he, Christ, to whomever, whosoever the Son will reveal him, whoever the Son reveals God the Father to will know Christ. And whoever Christ reveals God the Father to, God the Father will know him also as a son and daughter. This is what God is. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And then it gets into the meat of the text. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Labor. Work. Heavy laden, you have burdens, you have sufferings, you have needs, you have losses, you need help. That's who he's calling. The labor is confusing because you're not laboring to be saved. And we'll get to that. And I will give you rest. So that there's rest for our souls. In Philippians 2, 1 to 5, It gives you what is part of having the attitude of Christ. And it gives you the idea of how merciful you should be, and it gives you the idea how loving you should be. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord of one mind. This is the bride of Christ. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. You're not striving to gain anything. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Do you build up the body of Christ? Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You have lots of things that you can look on. But if you're looking on the things of others, their trials, their concerns, their troubles, then you're a servant. If you're looking on your concerns, your trials, your troubles, it's so easy to be influenced to be a victim. Because that's what the world teaches. Poor me. But if you're looking to others, it's because you have the heart of Christ, the servant's heart, where you want to help, alleviate some of the pain, be a brother that loves, be a sister that nurtures. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. So these verses here is kind of talking about what it is who labor and are heavy laden, but also it is things that what your mindset is. And then it says, "And I will give you rest." Where do we find rest in the Word? A few years ago, or a year or so ago, Steve spoke on the fourth chapter of Hebrews. And there's two verses that stand out for me in this chapter. There, in the 9th to the 11th, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. We rest. For he that is entered into his rest, Christ's rest, you rest in the work of the cross. He also has ceased from his own works. It is finished. We rest in the work of the cross. I don't have to do anything. I rest on the completed work of Christ, my Savior. So it says, he has ceased from his own works as God did from his, as he created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Let us labor therefore. This is the labor it's talking about here when it says, labor and are heavy laden. Let us labor therefore and enter into that rest. That's the labor. I rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to add to it. I'm not going to take away from it. I'm going to rest in that. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Because if I add to it, no, I've got to do this, or I've got to do that. Or it's not quite that difficult, or it's not quite that hard. I shouldn't have to do that. If we add or take away from what the work of the cross has done, there's a danger. But if we rest in the work, that's our labor. So we look in this and we say, okay, come unto me all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What's the next step? Now that we're at rest, what's the next step? Take my yoke upon you. What yoke? There was people in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah, they didn't exactly take the right yoke. In chapter 6 of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is the weeping prophet, and it's a very difficult book to read because it's sad how many times the people of God chose to basically not even listen to him. In the 16th verse of chapter 6, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where is the good way, the narrow way. And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said what? We will not walk therein. I don't need to go there. I can take care of this myself. Also I set watchmen over you, the Holy Spirit, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon these this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor unto my law, but rejected it. They did not listen. They did their own thing. And there was damage done. And reprobate happens. There was a prophet, Hananiah, who was a false prophet in the 28th chapter of Jeremiah, who would go around with a yoke on his neck. And Hananiah, the false prophet, decided one day, he's tired of listening to Jeremiah because Jeremiah just is preaching doom and gloom. He wasn't preaching doom and gloom, he was preaching truth. You guys are not listening. So what happens here in the 10th verse? Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. It was a wooden yoke. He breaks the yoke. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. Hananiah is saying this. King of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations, within the space of 2 years, the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Jeremiah goes his way, then God talks to him and apprehends him and says, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the prophet, that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yoke of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. I'll give them a yoke. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beasts of the field also. Nebuchadnezzar will have everything. And then the prophet Jeremiah said unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee. You're a false prophet. What you're teaching is lies. But thou makest people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth this year, and thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month, because he was propagating what was against God. God put a yoke of iron on him that he could not take off because he was reprobate. So then we get to our text. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Well, we already know we rest on the work of the cross. What does the yoke entail? It entails quite a bit. This yoke that basically is a yoke that holds you together. There's basically, it looks like this and like this, and then you have a rope that goes around your neck, and you're taking this yoke and you're putting it on yourself, and Christ is your partner. That's what he's saying. In 1 John 2:6, these are ideas that what the yoke entails. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If you're yoked to Christ, you will walk down the narrow path. The paths that in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah's day, they did not walk. You will walk down that even as he has walked. In Philippians 2, 7 and 8, But made himself, Christ, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, the Son of Man. We will, being yoked to him, have no reputation, and we will serve. And was made in the likeness that we are men, and be found in the fashion of a man, he humbled them, so we will be humbled by what? By the word of God, by the power of God, by the grace of our brother, Jesus Christ. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is all part of the attitude of Christ. We will have that attitude being yoked to him. John 13:15. These are kind of like, what is it? What is the yoke entail? For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. He's speaking of washing the disciples' feet. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, washed the disciples' feet. Why? Because they were dirty. Was it his job? Yes. It was his job to wash the disciples' feet. And he told Peter, if you don't do likewise, you have no part with me. So being a servant and being able to serve and being humble, understand one thing. You're a sinner saved by grace. And you need your feet washed. And how is this yoke being built? Luke chapter 6, 46 to 48. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why are you saying that you're my Lord, but you don't do what I tell you? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show unto you whom he is like. People that are yoked to me, this is what they're like. He's like a man which built a house and dig deep. Digged deep. Looked into the word, peeled the onion back, and dig deep. Knowing who God is, knowing who Christ is, knowing their position, knowing what the Holy Spirit does, in the word, in season and out, dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock, the rock of Christ. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Our foundation is built on the rock of Christ. We are yoked to the rock. We are anchored to Christ. Unmovable, unshaken. The Gospel of John, verse 15, or chapter 15. To 14. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another. As I have loved you, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus did that for us. He's asking us to follow that path. Love one another as I have loved you. Love the bride of Christ. Love your enemies. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and unblameable. It is your reasonable service, like Romans 12:1 says. 2 Peter 3:18. And this is the digging. This is part of sanctification. This is part of being predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. Setting you apart from the world, making you different. Making your desires different so that you long for Christ, you long for his word. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. The yoke entails much things that happen through that Holy Spirit. You're yoked to Christ, and these are the changes in you. Why are you being changed so quickly? Or maybe not so quickly enough. Because you're yoked to Christ. You're not yoked to another, just to him. And you are digging. You're meek and lowly because of him. And you have rest to your souls because it is finished. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Micah 6, 6 to 8. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord? Bow myself before the high God. God is God. We humbly walk in his place. We humbly walk towards him. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? No. With calves of a year old? No. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? No. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly. Do what is right, because God is just. And to love mercy. Be mercy upon me, O Lord, a sinner. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, a sinner. And walk humbly with thy God. Galatians 5, 1 and 18. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free and not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. We're not entangled in a yoke of bondage. The bondage is not bondage. There's a freedom being yoked to Christ. We go in and out and have green pastures. We are protected by his righteousness. We have access to God. There's a freedom there. We're not going to be entangled in the yoke of bondage. 18th verse. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. The law has been fulfilled in Christ. We're not under the law because he has fulfilled it and he has completed it for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 4 and 5. Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble? Christ comforts us. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The bride of Christ comforts us, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. Now we have the ability to comfort others because we have been comforted first by your Father through the work of the cross, Jesus Christ, by that indwelling Spirit. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth in Christ. We know how to comfort because we're yoked to Christ. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If you ever have any physical ailments, Paul's saying anything that is a thorn, he says, I'd rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm going to glory about this because the power of Christ will rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecution, distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We have a yoke that is easy. We have a burden that is light. In Romans 6, to 23, it just gives us some encouragement and tells us basically what we are. Know ye not that whomever ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye are, and whom ye obey, whether it's sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye are the servants of sin. You were the servants of sin, but ye have been obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. How do you yield your members to righteousness? You've been imputed with the righteousness of Christ. He took your sin. You've got his righteousness. You've been imputed with his righteousness. You are made holy by the work of the cross. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. How are you free from righteousness? Because you're righteous in yourself. I'm going to take care of this myself. I'm going to do this on my own. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, ye become servants of God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and an everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have been yoked to Christ. It's gracious, it's merciful, and it brings life. The other yoke is unto death. It's a bondage. It's a, I have to do this or I have to do that. That never ends. Because what you're saying then, Christ did not do it all. So we are yoked to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. A yoke that is light, beautiful, true, influential, and brings peace. And there is liberty there. There's not bondage. There's a freedom to speak to Christ, our brother, to talk to God through that Holy Spirit that guides and directs. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ability to be yoked to you, to take on that yoke, the ability to be gracious and merciful through that yoke, the ability to learn more of you, to learn more of your love and your grace and your mercy and your peace and your joy, the ability to go in and out and find green pasture, the ability to rest. It is finished. The ability to dig deep into the Word. Ability to understand the mysteries that are not given to the wise in themselves and the prudent in themselves, but only unto babes, the blind, the deaf, the lame, and the dumb. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for the ability to take that yoke of peace upon us, where we can be gracious and merciful to others. In Jesus' name, may the grace the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close with 278.